day of his son's baptism, God the Father said, "You are my beloved son. In you, I am well pleased." Or didn't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? So that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too get to live a new life. So count yourselves dead to sin, but alive in God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Words to live by, words to die by, words worth shouting from the north to the south, that in Christ we are made live again, that our sins are washed away, that we are marked upon the forehead and the heart as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. We are different because of Christ and the waters of baptism. In that powerful letter to the Romans, Paul wanted to convey that connection point of what happens. It's not just a ritual. It isn't jumping through the hoops for a religious group, but that something by the powerful hand and love of God happens in these waters. Paul says that the story of Jesus, namely his death and his resurrection, becomes our story through baptism. That what is Christ now becomes ours. His death is our death, his life is our life, and his resurrection to life everlasting is now ours. Through the waters of baptism. In baptism, we are brought into something much greater than ourselves. We are made, certainly a part of God's family, but also we are brought into the kingdom of God. Not only as servants, but as heirs. Not only as witnesses, but as the very hands and feet and the light of Christ in the world, we're given mission and purpose. We're given identity. Just as Theodore last Sunday was baptized, each of us who have come through those waters of grace must daily realize that we are a sinful creature, but we are drowned and rescued, that death has been used to conquer our sin, and new life is given to us in that wonderful blessing. Now, what was perhaps circumcision in the Old Testament, a physical act to mark the people of God separate and holy from the rest of the world, in the New Testament becomes, in the waters of baptism, a circumcision of the heart. Remember, this is what God has been talking about. Last week he said, "I don't want more burnt offering sacrifices. I want the hearts who are bringing them and their life as a constant worship of God, not the burnt offering on Sunday morning." It's about a change of heart, change of life, change of view, because you are claimed by Jesus Christ, because you are made anew and alive. So baptism, though, to those who come in and maybe see it for the first time or see it in a movie, might think of it as such a small thing. I mean, what is it? Water, in a few words? Doesn't seem like much. Some might even say it seems kind of cultic. You go through this ritual with your kids or adults. And yet baptism, as God presents it and gives it, means so much more. It is something bigger than ourselves, and it means so much to God and to us personally because it unites us to Christ, and it makes his story our story. It makes what is true for Christ true for us. It is a covenant renewed by that circumcision of the heart. And as many times as I hear that story of Jesus being baptized, the part of it that captures my heart is when you hear the Father's words, "You are my son. In you I am well pleased." What a joy for any of us to hear that. For God to look at our life, our day, our moment, not just on Sunday, but throughout the week in our lives. In every chapter, "You are my son, you are my daughter, in you I am well pleased." And how can God say that? It's not because there's anything good in us, but because of Christ in you. God is echoing those same words he spoke at his son's baptism. "In you I am well pleased because my son in your life, in your heart, has done everything for you." It gets me to thinking, then what would it take to really please God? To bring, if there is a possibility of giving God a smile, what is it that pleases God? And if the life of Jesus gives us a clue, it's to live a life continually in remembrance of our baptism identity. It says whose we are and who we live for. That's what pleases God. That's what satisfies him and makes him identify with us as his beloved, as the ones that he is connected to through covenant and through a peace that endures beyond human understanding In those simple promises of God's word in the water, we are brought into a covenant relationship with the creator of the universe, the redeemer and sustainer of our life. And then given the Holy Spirit, he makes you the temple of his presence, of his word, of his spirit. You can't get more intimate to that. It's that marriage union. Christ is the groom, we the church is the bride. And baptism unites us in a deep, deep relationship. Not only with God, but with each other. And so if we look at Jesus' life, what happened after his baptism? Well, it kicked off his 3-year ministry, and Jesus never looked back. He continued to reach out, touching people's lives with healing and feeding and miracles and compassion and grace. This is what he did after his baptism. Again, God never leaves us without a clue of how does life look? What do we do after our baptism? What is the life of a well-pleased God looking at his pleasing children look like? Because we are the children of the well-pleased God. And aren't we pleasers by natures? We always try to find ways that we can satisfy our parents, our spouses, our bosses, our children. Why would we spend any less time thinking about how can we please God in the kingdom work that he sets before us? We do what Jesus did. We leave the waters of our baptism, and we go out, and we show our love for God by showing love for others. It's really a simple thing, but it takes heart, a changed heart, willing to risk what happens when you love an unlovable world. A heart and person of faith that stretches themselves beyond where they would rather be to be where God needs them to be and calls them to be. God is pleased whenever our words or our actions are driven more by the cross than by ego and greed and revenge. We get this, right? You're picking up what I'm putting down. That it is a more cross-driven life than a me-driven life is what baptism looks like. That's how Jesus lived. He went out of his way to help those in need. The woman caught in adultery, the woman at the well, the several men and women and children that needed his healing touch. Even if it disturbed his agenda for the day or broke his rest when he went on a boat just to get away from the ministry for a moment, the people came after him. And he said, all right, I will love them no matter what. And today, as we celebrate Jesus' baptism, it's interesting how it always falls about a week before we remember Martin Luther King. And the words that Martin Luther King spoke in the year that he died are very meaningful. Listen to what Dr. King said. He said, after I die, I would like to say, have someone say that I gave my life in serving others. That Martin lived trying to love other people in Christ's name. I just want to leave a committed life behind. That was the mark that he wanted to leave and have people remember him by, that he served others in Christ's name because I left a committed life as a part of my story. Baptism is the beginning of our committed life in Jesus Christ. That proves to the world that we are thankful for our salvation, and as a response or proof of that, we're going to serve them because we want to serve like our Savior served. We want to walk and speak and talk and sacrifice and suffer like our Savior did, because that's the baptism identity we give to our children. When they say on the day of confirmation, I'd rather suffer all, even death, than give up my life in Christ. And that's not just about giving up saving faith. We should never give up loving like Jesus, living like Jesus, because that's where the gospel motivates us. When you are healed and come out of the hospital surgery or recovery room, we all want to dance and throw down the crutches and move into that new life beyond the chapter of the valley of suffering, because we knew the good shepherd, the great physician, the God who heals and rescues, who upholds us with his righteous right hand, we should dance and celebrate. King David did this with his victories. He celebrated, not that he just squashed his enemies. King David and many other righteous kings celebrated that God was with them. A message throughout the whole Bible, Adam and Eve to the book of Revelation, to every moment you breathe, God says, I am with you. Jesus said this before leaving, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Right, your age, the age of the world. God's love never abandons us. And baptism is that committed life that reflects us. Because life motivated by baptism is constantly stretching us beyond where life feels comfortable. It has to. It invites us to take a risk in serving others and helping the stranger. I had an opportunity this weekend to see God smile. I went camping, and as I was walking one of the paths of the park, I saw a gentleman who was walking his dog, and we got to talking, and he mentioned that back at the campground, there was a man who was living there in a tent until about spring comes when they ask him to leave. And I didn't remember seeing a tent back at the campground, and as I went back, I looked around, and what I did see was what I thought was a little shelter covering for someone wanting to keep their wood dry to burn on a lot where there was an RV. And then I saw someone coming out of the bathrooms, and I asked if they knew a gentleman that might live in a tent around here, and she pointed to that little covering. And it turns out he's there by the graciousness of the person who's renting in a lot, like $25 a day. And he walks every day to a restaurant for his income, and he comes back there in the evening. And I had a blessing bag that I wanted to give to someone. It's been in my car now for about 3 weeks, but I didn't know who I'd run into. And I wouldn't meet him, and she said she's his neighbor just across the street at the campground, and that she'd be willing to give the bag to him. And so I gave it to her, and she goes, "You just have this in your car?" And I said, "Yeah, our 5th and 6th graders of our church school put these together, and it's just a great way we believe in showing the hope of Jesus by just taking care of our neighbors." And she smiled, and she said, "Yeah, that's really how it should work, shouldn't it?" And for me, that was seeing the smile of God, not of the person that would receive ultimately this blessing bag, but someone that I know whose neighbor then had a chance to give a seed of encouragement. And that was God putting that in my moment, camping. That's what baptism, one example, that's not a pat on the back for Pastor Chris, it's just an example of always being ready to share the hope you have in Jesus Christ, or to show an act of love that shows baptism has changed your life. We understand that God is pleased with us because of Jesus Christ, not because of anything we could do to earn God's love or favor. It isn't about our attendance or our giving. It isn't about even the good works that we do. Those are always a response to the salvation in Christ that came first. We get to love others because we were first loved by Christ. That's how we begin our day when we say in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we gather because He loved us first and He loves us best. And now we get to love others. Christ has already done all that is needed for us when He paid our debt of sin, and He passed on to us in the waters of baptism, God's unmerited love and acceptance. Amen? Amen? You have an unmerited love and an undeserved grace that God accepts you as His own. That is good news. That's resurrection news. And while we get to dance in the new heaven and new earth, let's start that dancing now by the way we love our neighbors and care for the strangers and do things that show we are more than just people of the pew. We are people of promise, people of hope, people of faith in action, a committed life. Because our life should never be a cause without effect. It should never be a cause without effects. Forgiveness changes our whole identity and our view of the world around us. It has to. Christ is always our main cause, and our life that follows should be the effect of what has been given to us in the richness of God's grace. It's an awesome thing to see what God chooses to do when we offer words and actions in love. He can do wonderful things through us, our broken vessels, as we carry that gospel in terms that people understand. And what gives us the courage to reach out is our baptism. That I wake up daily and say, "I am a child of God, forgiven and redeemed. I am beloved by the well-pleased God because of Christ in me. And now I get to be Christ's hands and feet in the world." When the Holy Spirit gives us faith in that baptism, He changes our destiny, not only in the life to come, but He fills our life in the here and now with the things to do for our faith, things that matter to God. And baptism also tells us it's never, never too late to start again. You don't have to stay wherever life and valleys and sadness and depression or addiction may lead you in sin. Our God is a God of second chances through mercy and forgiveness. Baptism says you can start again because of the Holy Spirit in you. And we are daily drowning that sinful self and rising anew in Christ. That's the promise. There are more than just one set of second chances. It is a lifetime of God's unmerited love. So hold dearly to your gift of baptism and enjoy and find ways of showing that baptism has changed you and the world around you so that the world will see that you are dead to a life of sin, but you are joyfully alive in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Enough said. May that rich, sustaining peace of God given to you in baptism keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Until life everlasting, God's grace go with you. Amen. Amen. I invite you to stand with me as we come before the Lord with open hearts in prayer.